Tonight's show is dedicated to Nishmas Meir ben Yisrael Yitzchak and Nishmas Sima Bas Harav Ben Zion, Rebbetzin Simi Wagner, and the Share Enjoyment team extends that our learning should serve as a Lias Nishmasam, and we shall know Besuras Tovas going forward. So tonight's share, there are so many things to say about Parsha Shoftim. I'm not sure where to begin, but I will make an effort to cover a few different pointers. The first is the most obvious, which is Shoftim v'shotim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha, that we have to set up rules and also a police force that enforces those rules in every courtyard. But what this really means, says the Kedushas Levi, is that in this time of year, Shoftim v'shotim titen lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives over to us a certain level of shlita, which means a certain power. We have a certain power in this month that is unlike any other month, and we should not take it for granted. And that is that we have to understand b'derech she'adam modeh modeh din lo. The way we judge others is the way we will be judged. So it's a little bit, I wouldn't say the word hypocritical, right? Because we may not be favorable to people during the year, but this time of the year, we're going to go out of our way to be understanding and to be down like havschos. And we see somebody that, you know, comes in late to shul. It could be that he was helping his wife or he's helping his children with something. So we can't simply judge someone unfavorably. And there are many other instances of where we judge people throughout the course of the year in an unfavorable way. In fact, we're judging them in a negative way. Now, this time of year, we have to judge people in a positive way. So why does that set the stage for something positive or in the future that we can have a more successful outcome? So hopefully if we change our midos this month, then in the next month that follows, and once Rosh Chodesh and I'm sorry, Rosh Hashanah, and then we have the Aser Simei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Slichos, and all of those things that have transpired, we go into Zman Simchaseinu, we actually will be Sameach, not only Bechelko, but Bechelkam, not only in our own lot, but also in others and other people's achievements. So hopefully this provides us with the necessary ingredient to set the stage for a new start of becoming more understanding toward other people. So therefore, the pasuk says, Shoftim v'shotim titein lecha. I gave over, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to you, your judgment. You want to know how your Rosh Hashanah is going to be? You want to know if you're going to end up b'din zakai? Then the best way to go about it is to treat others b'din zakai, to treat others with a favorable judgment. And again, b'derech shadam modeh modeh din lo. The Ben Ish Chai has another take, and he says that the word she'arecha is a form of understanding, that she'arecha stands for shinayim, which are our teeth, and we should be careful what we consume. Einayim, we should be careful what our eyes see. Raglayim, we should be careful where our legs take us to. They hopefully will take us to a makam Torah. And then we have yadayim, which are the hands. We should be involved in divrei mitzvos. And then the she'arecha, the keres, that refers to our reproductive system. So all of these things have to be, in a way, guarded. And then that in that way, in that schus, the Ben Ish Chai says that's the way we usher in the month of Elul and prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah. I wanted to switch gears now and talk about the Arei Miklat. It's a fascinating discussion, and I wanted to just touch on a point or two. The pasuk says Tachin Lecha Haderach, that we have to create signs, guideposts for the people that, for the individuals that require access to an Arei Miklat. And why was that necessary? Because there was no time for somebody who was guilty or perhaps not guilty of manslaughter, or someone was chopping wood and the axe was not fastened closely to the handle and fell off and it flung backwards and it hit someone and killed someone. So he has to run to the Arei Miklat. And if he gets there on time, then he's safe. So compare this to the secular world. There's two points to consider. The first is the secular world. All of the movies in the 30s through the 70s, whenever there was a Western, it was always about, you know, finding the guy who did a crime. And the guy who did the crime was actually lucky if he was found by a sheriff, because the sheriff would then put him in jail, and then he would be under the law of the sheriff of that county. But if he wasn't, then it would be a duel, perhaps, like Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton in 1804 over some trivial matter. It could have been a hanging, a lynching. It could have been a full-blown shootout. So there's many different ways that things could have taken place in the Old West. But the Torah is teaching us this is not the way we operate. We actually create signals so that they can get to the nearest Ari Mikla, the city of refuge. And that's where they will find their comfort. And that's where they will find their remedy. And so, and then they stay there so long as the Kohen Gadol is alive. And after he passes away, they are free. So there was a duality to the service of the Kohen Gadol, what it meant for the Kohen and what it meant for the people. But compare this, the second point to compare this to, not to the secular world, but now compare that to the instruction of Shalosh Pam Bashana Yeirah Kol Zechurcha, which is what we learned in the prior week's parsha, that we have to go up to be Ola Regel. Now think about people that lived inside Yerushalayim. You know, it may sound simple, but to go from one part of Yerushalayim to the other may not be that simple. I walked one time like 45 minutes from one side of, you know, Rehov Yafo all the way over to the Katzimon area and then through the German colony to visit a friend. It's quite time consuming and it could be confusing about how to get to a certain location. They didn't have GPS back then. And there's no pasuk by Shalosh Pam Bashana Yeirah Kol Zechurcha that we have to go up to be Ola Regel that provides us with a guide map. There was no sign that says, here is Yerushalayim. What about the people that lived outside? People lived in Ashdod, Sderot, in the north. They lived in Netanya and Meron and Tzfat. And all these people were coming from Be'er Sheva, from the north, from the south, from the east, west, from Hebron. Everyone was moving toward Yerushalayim. Don't you think that there was a time when people were traveling that they had to stay overnight in someone's home? Think about the conversation that they must have had. We're here because it's all we're being Ola Regel. Shalosh Bashana. You know, last year we stayed by this family. This year, you know, we couldn't make it to that city in time. So the night fell and we found ourselves in this town. Could you take us for the night? And they bring chiba, they bring love of mitzvos with them to every home that they would visit. Contrast this to the person who committed a sin or committed an act of murder unintentionally or intentionally, and there's no room for him. There's no time for him to sleep overnight. Because if he did, the Goel Hadam, the Redeemer of Blood, would find him, and then he would be killed, right? So there was no such thing as sleeping over. But when it comes to chinuch, what do we want our children to be exposed to? Our children are exposed to those that are Ola Regel. They see these families that are coming up to Yerushalayim, and there's no room in the small houses that they had back then, but they made plenty of room for everyone. And that, I think, is a powerful message. So that's the second point. The third point that I wanted to talk about is a very famous, you know, Maskilim put together 140 years ago a play. And in the play, they had a stage full of 100 people. And they said, whoever has recently built a new home, let him go home. Whoever recently planted a vineyard, let him go home. Whoever recently got engaged, let him go home, lest someone else will take his wife. So there's a lot of questions on this. But what happened in the play? 30% of the staff members or the play participants, they left the stage. And then the other 30% left. And then the other 33% left. And who was left? Two elderly Jews. And who are these Jews? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, and the Netziv, his brother-in-law. And Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And they're buried, by the way, in the same ohel I visited many, many years ago when I was in Yeshiva in Israel. And they have these two elderly sages with long white beards, and they were mocking. And the Maskilim were saying, look, these are the people that are going to go fight the wars with the Jewish people. This is the reason why we need a secular state. And this is the reason why, you know, religion is not for us. But they fail to understand that, first of all, there's a fallacy in the numbers, right? Number one, not everyone was in that predicament that they would go home. So there surely was a percentage. But even the smallest percentage of people that were left, and even if we want to assume for a moment that there were two tzaddikim, their tfilos, their kochos, are what prevail. And we see it today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is performing miracles for us day in and day out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over Klal Yisrael, especially, during the recent, attack and counterattack. And we shouldn't have to hopefully experience any of those episodes, but we can see when we look for it, we can find the Yad Hashem. So the second or the third point on this message is that we ask a question. If someone recently got engaged and he's concerned about fighting a war, then he should go home because someone else may take his wife. Well, why would we suspect that his wife would leave him? His wife is not going to leave him. His wife is going to stay with him. But really, the focal points of that premise and the other two examples are to evoke a certain sense of emunah and bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though, yes, you have the exemption and you have to go home, there are those that will stand in their place and say, we are prepared to fight. Those who already have established families, those who already have planted vineyards years back, those already who have recently, who got engaged many years ago, they're the ones who will step forward. So it's not true that there will only be two Jews. We see together that when it comes to the Muhammad, that, and this goes for Klal Yisrael there. It's amazing because on WhatsApp, you can find countless appeals for so many different organizations day in and day out. Hatzalah, Tomchei Shabbos, Chasdei Lev, and all of these amazing organizations, they're constantly fundraising and they're somehow drawing in a lot of interest. And the answer is that Mi Kamcha Yisrael, Goyach HaBaretz, our hearts are bigger than our wallets. And that's the reason why we give. And when we give generously and we give meaningfully. And even if we give a small amount, when it comes from the heart, it makes a powerful difference. The last thing I wanted to just mention to everybody as we usher in this Chodesh Elo, and now that we're in the countdown mode to Rosh Hashanah, it's important for us to be aware that when we, the last Aliyah talks about the Egla Rufa, which was the parsha that Yosef HaTzadik learned with his father many, many years ago. And that's the last thing he learned before he went into prison. And the pasuk begins, Ki matzeh chol ba'adamah asher, right? If you find a dead corpse that you're traveling on the road, you have to measure the distance and figure out which town this corpse belongs to. And then, of course, we know that Rashi tells us, the Zakenim come out and they say, Yadenu lo shafkas adam hazeh. They say that our hands have not spilled this blood. Well, of course, their hands have not spilled this blood. Look at Rashi. Rashi says that it shouldn't come upon your heart that that people who are sitting in Beis Din, that are sitting and learning Torah, have any role in the death of this sad individual. But if we only the Zakenim are saying, had we only known that he was going from one town to another, we would have made sure that he had provisions and that he was walking with somebody else. Why? Because I was thinking of two thoughts. One, we know that the pasuk says, "Vayivaso Yaakov levado, vayoveg ishimo," that as a result of Yaakov Avinu going back to get the pachim ketanim, to get those small flasks of oil, which later were instrumental in anointing the kings of Israel, beginning with Shaul HaMelech and then David, and then later on found when the Yevanim had the fight against the Maccabees, and this is what the Ner of Hanukkah was sourced to, right? So we know that Vayoveg Yishimo Adolos Hashachar, because he was Levado, Vayoveg Yishimo. Then he became prone or open to attack. Why? Because we know that if two people are walking together, then God forbid somebody who is thinking about doing something evil or terrible, like a murder, will think twice. Why? Because they'll think, hey, this person is valued by society. And that's the reason why when you have a guest over on Friday night, you're required to walk them out, not just for Amos, but really to the corner of your property to make sure that we escort them properly. And so this is the Mida that we're talking about. So what I want to get from this, and I'm sorry, someone was buzzing me. What I want to get from this is that it's not just simply enough to walk with somebody through life, right? Baruch Hashem, person gets older, they get married. But even if a person were not to get married, a person has a chavrusa or misusa. If a person has a chavrusa, then that is the shmir l'aderech for his life. because he's able to experience through his chavrusa all of the wonderful things that come through learning and dveikus b'Torah, and also dveikus with your chavrusa and your friends and your family. And that's how Klal Yisrael bond together, stick together, and we draw off of the energy of one another. And that's how we are zocha to have all of the good things. Behold, bako mikokol, we should only have only things that are complete. So I give everyone the bracha as we enter in from Parsha Shoftim, and we usher in another week closer and closer, within 2 weeks, almost to Rosh Hashanah, that we should be zocha to think about these ideals that we discussed tonight. Remember, to recap, one, to judge others favorably, because Shoftim v'shotim titin lacha, Hashem gave it over to you. It's up to you to decide your judgment. And the way that you judge others is the way that you will be judged. And then we'll learn more about this during Sukkos, Beratisa Banu, how this actually plays a role with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with us. But we first also have to work on our Ben Adam LaMakom, Ben Adam LaChavero. The second was that we have to remember the lesson of Tachin Lacha Aderech, that we should invite people that have a positive influence into our homes. And those are the folks that are going to influence our children for the positive, and to see the love that they have for one another for mitzvos. The last thing is, of course, to draw upon one another, have a chavrusa, and then from there we shall be zochet to good things. I want to wish everyone bracha batzlacha this week, all the very best, and Hashem, we'll talk again soon.